This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. About 40 years ago, a group of women in Brattleboro got together to create a safe haven for other women in their community who were suffering from abuse. The Women's Crisis Center changed its name a few years ago to the Women's Freedom Center. And joining us now on the line is Sherry May, Community Outreach Advocate for the Women's Freedom Center. Sherry, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, tell us more about what was happening 40 years ago to get the center off the ground.
Well, you know, obviously the late 60s, early 70s was a pretty revolutionary time across the board in our country around civil rights, including women's rights. And the first sort of conversational roots for the Women's Community Center, as it was known then, began with a group of local women that were focusing on the number of sexual assaults that were being reported in our area. And they formed what they expected initially to be a rape crisis center. But what they realized pretty early on was that most of the calls that were coming in were actually about women who were being beaten by their male partners. And there was no template for this kind of advocacy. They taught themselves how to basically create a shelter, bringing women into their own homes for safety initially until they could find funds for that. And I think what's important to realize is that early on, even naming this problem was a revolutionary act.
Now, sadly, the issue of domestic abuse has not gone away in 40 years, but have you seen improvements over that time?
Well, what I would say is that there have been certainly improvements and an increase in the number of services that are available. For instance, 1983, there were 700 shelters around the country. Today, there are about 1,924. So there's a lot more support around helping victims initially, you know, get out of the situation. But sadly, that doesn't really address society's problem in ending the abuse.
What are some of the problems that persist?
Well, statistically, across the country, you know, domestic violence is still the leading cause of injury to women between the ages of 15 and 44. It's still the leading cause of death in pregnant women in the U.S. It's also the leading cause of violent death of women in Vermont. According to a 2009 Vermont crime report, 60% of violent crime in our state is happening in homes. And just because it's happening behind closed doors doesn't mean it's not a community and a political issue.
What's causing this problem? Why is it so persistently, seemingly intractable?
Well, I mean, that is, you know, really the fundamental question. And I think what we have to recognize that around the world in every culture, we still all live in a patriarchy. And that is the root cause. We're still working against, you know, some of the same age-old thinking.
Do you think that more men need to be involved consciously in helping solve instances of domestic abuse, even if they are not abusers themselves?
Absolutely, Mitch. I mean, that is a huge part of our outreach work. And, you know, the bottom line here is that the sort of traditional male code that can be so harmful to women and girls is also harmful to men and boys. And this isn't ultimately about men versus women. It's about the sort of toxic conditioning that happens to everyone and restricts gender roles for everyone. And so that's something that we all can contribute to the larger conversation in our culture about the teaching of violent masculinity and gender stereotypes. We all certainly benefit from having that conversation. It can't just be a conversation that women have with each other or with men. It needs to be a conversation that men have with other men to try to shift norms, because a lot of the either respect or disrespect that men and boys are taught about women comes from other men.
Are you talking about things like movies, television, or just advertising? I mean,
all of the above. All of the above. You know, what folks may not realize is, you know, while women are, of course, half the population of the planet, to this date, over 90% of movies are still made by men, directed by men, funded by men, and they're primarily about men, and women play mainly supporting roles. It says a lot about how Hollywood sexism still provides a template for the everyday kind of sexism. Women and girls still face enormous pressure to be seen but not heard, very often to be sexy but insignificant. And that doesn't just play out in pop culture, but it has an effect on every other significant realm in our culture, too. In politics, the way female candidates are talked about and whether they even feel that they're able to run for office based on the way the media treats them. So it really has enormous implications that ripple out in every realm of our culture.
I can see that stereotypes are something that you're very concerned about in the culture. I wonder also if at the Women's Freedom Center, you have to battle against stereotypes on how people perceive the issue of domestic violence. This really, I'm guessing here, cuts across socioeconomic strata.
Absolutely does. And that's a great point. And we actually are working on a radio PSA campaign with a number of our male allies, because one of the first myths that underlies the whole problem of violence against women is the sense that it's just a women's issue. And as we said before, you know, we absolutely welcome conscientious men speaking up about this. It absolutely will take that. But yeah, I mean, domestic and sexual violence cuts across all socioeconomic and other kinds of demographics. We all have a stake in trying to create some change here.
I understand you have an event next month that talks about violent masculinity. What are you hoping comes out of that discussion?
For folks who have heard of it, I think 1999, the first version of the documentary Tough Guys came out by Jackson Katz. And this is the updated version that has been much awaited. So we really want to take a look at where these lessons are coming from that perpetuate some of the myths and that still let perpetrators off the hook, that help to silence victims of these crimes, shame or blame them. It's all connected.
Sherry Mays, the community outreach advocate for the Women's Freedom Center in Brattleboro, thank you so much for taking the time.
Mitch, thank you so much.